Good morning.
We're excited to be here. Hey, folks, I'm Pastor Nick Schimmer, one of the pastors here at Asbury. I want to take a moment and thank you for being with us in worship today. It's awesome to see all of you, and we're just grateful for this time together. I have just one quick announcement for you. The cottage meetings we've been talking about for the last couple weeks are underway. In fact, they start tonight at 4 o'clock. I think that particular cottage meeting is already full, but back there on that back table, we do have sign-up sheets for the other meetings as well, and in your bulletin, if you look under the, in the back of it, we have a website link you can go to, and we also have a QR code, if you're really tech-savvy, that you can scan and you can sign up that way. Please indicate whether or not you need childcare, and our big goal is to have as many folks there as possible. We'd love to hear from you about why you love Asbury, and we're looking forward to meeting with you. So that being said, as we prepare our hearts and minds for worship, stand up, stretch your legs a little bit, and pass the peace to your neighbor. Give them a big Asbury hug this morning.
Welcome to Asbury United Methodist Church. My name is Caleb Conrad. Behind me is the Launch Band. Yesterday was our famous bass player, Jay McDaniel's birthday. He is 27. No, he's 50. He's 50. Give Jay a hand for his birthday. We're going to worship extra hard today for the Lord granting Jay another year. Clap your hands with us. We're going to start off with Grace on Top of Grace. Here we go.
They sing your praise.
wiped away the stains and broke away the chains. Yes, you have.
With your love, you set me free. Oh, three nails gave me liberty. So I'll sing your praise.
My God, I'll sing your praise.
Oh,
with your love, you forgave me. Children's moment. So if you are a child, please come up and see Miss Laura Stinnett. She's going to be up front. There are a few pictures up on the screen right now. Diane, tell me, where was this? Arkansas Food Bank. So our youth went and served at the Arkansas Food Bank, and they did a lot of great work. So we just wanted to kind of thank them and thank Diane for doing that great thing. So there's that. Yeah, give them a hand. Yeah, it's awesome.
Well, good morning. Happy Sunday. I'll get something out of them. Okay, I have a question for you. Are there things right now that you wish you could do but you can't? Like what?
Something private.
Okay. What about, like, maybe driving a car? You're not ready to drive a car yet? You would like to be 15 or 16 to drive a car. What do you think? Oh, hello. I didn't know I was up there. Miss Laura didn't know. Maybe she should have worn something else today. So maybe driving a car. Maybe going out by yourself. What do you think? Hello? Are there things that you can do that you get mad that you can't do because you're not old enough? There are things. He is an impossible level on Super Mario. Very good. Well, it's very interesting because there are a lot of things. But you know what? There are things that you can do now. What are things that you could do now? Have friends over. Go to the pool. What else? Anything else that y'all can do? You know, it's interesting because there's a lot of times when we're in the church, we talk about how kids can't do anything because they're not old enough. Do you think that's necessarily true? No. Why? Why? Why isn't that true? Do you think you can usher? Do you think that you can greet? Do you think that you could work at the food pantry with Miss Carol? Do you think that you can bring offering? I am sure that some of y'all have offering. You forgot it. What about bringing your Bible? How many of y'all have Bibles? Do y'all bring them every week? No. But there's a lot of things that you can do. But then the things that you can't do, I want you to turn around and I want you to look at everybody that's sitting in this congregation. Turn around. Turn around and look at everybody sitting in this congregation. Those people said when you were baptized or you joined the church, etc., that they were going to help you. Whether that be help with vacation Bible school or help you do something. And so all of these people are here to help you. Because you know what? We're a family. What are ways that you could go out into the community with your friends and help? Could you invite them to a program? Could you invite them to church? Maybe if they sleep over on a Saturday night? Could you invite them to, maybe you've invited a friend to Vacation Bible School? Maybe you invite a friend to Ferncliff when we go to Ferncliff during the day. There's a lot of ways. Maybe you've decided, you know what? I want to work on Tuesday with Miss Carol and help in the food pantry when the people come to get food bags during the summer because I don't have anything to do, but I want to reach out. So just because you are not, don't think that you are old enough to do anything, there's a million things that you can do. And I want you to think about that because that's what we're here for. We're here to do stuff. We're here to be the hands and the feet of God, of Christ, and to share with others. So let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you for today. And we thank you that we are able to do things. Some people say we're not old enough, but we are. Help us to do those things for you. And also to do things for our friends and bring friends into our church. We ask this in your son's holy name we pray. Amen.
To stand and continue to worship with us. Brother Nick requested this song to kind of set the stage for his message today. It's a launch band favorite, so appreciate that. Grand earth has quaked before, moved by the sound of his voice. The seas that are shaken and stirred can be calmed and broken from my regards. Through it all, through it all, my eyes are on you. And through it all, it is well. Through it all, my eyes are on you. And it is well with me. Thank you. There's mountains in front of me. We'll be thrown into the midst of the sea. Through it all, my eyes are on you. Through it all, it is well. Through it all, my eyes are on you. It is well, it is well.
Forward and delivers the message this morning. Please be with him and say what you want us to hear through him, through his words, and open up our minds and our hearts so that we can hear what we need to hear from you today, God. We pray this all in your holy name. Amen.
Why are we here? Like, right here, sitting with these people at this exact time? There's an African proverb that says, if you want to go fast, go alone. But if you want to go far,
go together. This reflects a timeless truth, a truth written into our DNA that affirms the notion that in a world that is increasingly isolated, progressively self-absorbed, and dynamically individualistic, we are better together.
We were made this way by a creator who is and has always been united in diversity. He is the definition of unity, community, and solidarity, three in one.
And scripture says our creator created a community for us to thrive in, a community who, though diverse and different, would gather together. A community who could express themselves authentically with a God who loves them, people who need one another, and a world waiting to hear.
A community of Christ followers who are committed to being real with God, real with each other, and real in the world. A community who is, by design, better together.
Try that again. Good morning again. I have to tell you, This is going to be hard, because it's going to be hard to top what just happened in this room. I had asked Caleb on Monday if they had ever done that song. He said no, but having the heart that he has and our band has, he said, we'll learn it. And just so you know, as we cry out, it is well with our soul in here, in the sanctuary, they are singing, it is well with our soul, the hymn. So our entire church this morning is crying out to God, saying, it is well because of you. And amen. That was such a powerful, powerful moment. The scripture this morning is from the book of Hebrews. It is chapter 10, verses 19 to 25. In your bulletin, it says 19 to 36, so that's not an error. 26 to 36 is outstanding, and I recommend if you have time today that you carry on and read it. But 19 to 25 is where we're really going to dial into this morning. So prepare your hearts and minds as we hear the word of God. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Gracious, loving God, we thank you for this moment and for the opportunity to hear your word, to hear your message this morning. God, we need to hear what you call us to do, so we ask that you take center stage this morning. And for you to do that, God, you have to get me out of the way. Push me aside, take over, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, give us a transformational message that we can use to go forward and make disciples for you in the name of Jesus Christ. We ask this in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. So, persecuted, bullied, tempted, and wavering. Those are just a few of the attributes that describe the state of the community of faith in which that letter of Hebrews was written. They were facing extreme external pressure to walk away from this newfound faith. These stories that they had heard about this man God who died on a cross and came back to life and resurrected for their sins, they had this pressure just to walk away from it. You know, to give in to the norms of society, because society at that time promised a lot of great riches. And they also had a God for every occasion. If you needed rain, there was a God for that. If you needed healing, there was a God for that. If you saw someone across the room and you kind of liked them, you hoped they'd fall in love with you, hey, they got a God for that too. They had a God for every season. And who could have blamed them? It certainly would have been the easier thing to do, right? just to walk away from this faith and to just go back to what we were doing, to go back and live in the world. It's a very human reaction and a very natural desire for us to do what our mind tells us is easy. Have you ever tried exercising for the first time? Or have you ever tried exercising after a really long layoff? It is awful. I don't care what anyone says, it is awful. Your body, your mind, every bit of you is going, stop, why are you doing this to me, right? Stop, why are you doing this to me? Get me out of here, get me out of this gym. It's the way, and gyms love this, it's the way gym memberships work. Like you get to January, and all of a sudden you see just a million people in the gym, right? And it's the resolution to get fit. And then by March, what happens? It's back to the old normal group, right? Why is that? Well, it's because anything that makes us better, that asks us to commit to a cause greater than our human inclination, is hard. It requires sacrifice, a long-term commitment that doesn't produce instant results. And that is hard for us to grasp, especially today in a world where we can have anything right at our fingertips. And so as you think about Miss Laura's message this morning, she was talking about, like, kids, do you want to drive? And no, I'm not old enough yet. The point she was trying to hammer home, she did a great job, is that just like this group in Hebrews were all kind of infants at one point, and they were kind of in their Christian infancy. Like they had heard about Jesus, right? But they didn't really get it. Like they didn't know what it meant. So they became utterly confused trying to tell the difference between what God does to bring us joy permanently and what the world offers us that brings us joy temporarily. There was pressure to conform to the culture, and the Christian population there just began to erode and decrease because they were turning on each other. They didn't see the results of their labor. And so this part of the book of Hebrews really is kind of a turning point, because the problems have been laid out, and it's just what I explained to you. And so now the author starts to offer a bit of a solution. And the first part of that solution is that God has created a new path for us. And it's right there in that first part of Hebrews where it says, we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus. This is our new and living way, access to God through Christ. And think about it. God did that for us. Nailed himself to a cross. This is the worst way that you could die, and he did it for us. And it was to give us a direct lifeline to him, that through Christ, we can now speak to God directly. You don't have to earn anything. You don't have to go out into society and do anything to validate yourself. There's no gold star system with God. What God has done is he has put himself into your life through a massive show of love. But here's the thing, and this is critically important. God expects a response. And that response, it was right there in the scriptures, that we draw to him with a sincere heart and a full assurance of faith. Because for God, love is action. Love is a verb. It is not a noun. So tomorrow, as you go back to the working world, and you go to your job and you have an awful day, how would it look if you came home after having just an awful day and you look at your spouse, your significant other, your kids, your dog, I don't know who you live with that you love, but you go home and you say, you know what, I've had an awful day, I don't feel great, I'm not showing anybody any love tonight. How do you think that would go? I could tell you how that would go in my household. And if you want verification, ask Jennifer. It would be rough. And part of that is because so often we determine how we're going to treat others by the way they make us feel. And so we make love a noun. We make it about our own personal feelings instead of an action that God calls us to show to the world, everybody, even our own worst enemies. And so how do we do that? How do we go about our day and really show people that we are love, that what Christianity stands for is love? Well, it's pretty simple. We imitate Christ in all we do, okay? Think about how Jesus' ministry started. Well, first, let me back up. Let me ask you a question. Think about how you start your day. What is your first priority? So when you wake up, what's the first thing you think about? what's the first thing you reach for? And if it's coffee, it's all good. God understands. But what is the next thing that you reach for? What is your first priority? Is it social media? Is it work emails? Is it box scores from last night's games? What is it? Whatever we prioritize in our life is a direct reflection of where our hearts lie. So think about how Christ began his ministry. He gets baptized, and what does he do? Immediately heads out into the wilderness, right? 40 days of prayer and fasting and contemplation to be alone, to start his day alone, channeling his inner soul. What if, instead, he had been baptized, popped up out of the water, and said, "Thanks, guys, that was fun. I'm off to the Colosseum, big gladiator match tonight. Can't miss it." Our gospel would look just a little bit different, wouldn't it? And so in those 40 days, he faced some of the worst temptation you could imagine. Standing there, he was offered the entire world and everything in it. And man, there's a lot of cool stuff in it, isn't there? But he had that opportunity. And thank goodness for us, he said no. We don't always. And I can speak to you from experience. As a new pastor to this church, for the last 20 years, I have lived in that space. I came from the business world. My life was built on grabbing every dollar that I could. And it's because I had this idea in my life that what my life should look like, what my kids' lives should be like, and I was stressed out all the time. And I thought as long as I went to church in Cabot every Sunday morning and I sat there and gave a little bit of money and volunteered every now and then, that I was doing the Christ-like thing. And I reached a point where God stopped me cold. He said, "Man, what are you doing? When am I going to stop being part of your life and start being the center of your life? When am I going to stop being part of your life and start being the center of your life?" So that's a little bit of my history. But I'll tell you this, he didn't have to ask me once. He had to ask me a million times because I didn't want to listen. You know, life was good. Everything was going good. Everything was as it should. And so I was stuck in the wilderness. And we've all been there. Think about it. And we all have a different type of wilderness. My context is not your context, but we've all been there. We've all been there. And so for us, we have to think about what is that change, because God has created for each one of you, each one of us in all the world, a very unique and beautiful path in our life. And for us, what he asks us to do is to change our priorities, to pray, to listen, and to be willing to take that first step. But here's the trick. You're going to take that first step, and then you're going to get knocked back two steps. And that's just the way this life works. It's one step forward, two steps back, one step forward, and two steps back. I want you to think about, for those of you in the construction business, kind of think about how an excavator works. It just digs into the ground, right, piece by piece and chips away. That's what the world seeks to do to your heart. Just dig piece by piece by piece. And so you're constantly fighting to overcome that. And by imitating Christ, we show that we're able to break those shackles. We're able to break those shackles of temptation. And as the scripture said, spur one another on towards love and good deeds. To see each other not based on status or means, but all as children of God. And it's not easy. It is not easy because people will frustrate you. They will make your blood boil. You can't control that. But you can control how you react to it. And we can control how we take the step forward. And the most important thing is that if you try to take that step forward alone, you always try to take it alone, it won't work. We are built to take that step forward and to do it together because we are better together. So I want you to think about when Jesus got back from the wilderness, what was the very first thing that he did? He went around and he assembled his group, right? He put together a group of just what's going to be his closest friends, his inner circle. He put together his posse, right? And it was the people that for the next 3 years he was going to hang out with, he was going to teach, he was going to spend time in prayer with, and in love and in community with. Because from day one, God calls us into community, into constant community. I saw a commercial on TV the other day, and you're probably going to go, "Dude, this is old stuff." But for me, technology, I'm always 2 years behind. So they've got a phone out there now. That is kind of cool. you can actually take your phone, set another phone on top of it, and they charge each other. Have you all seen that commercial? How cool is that? And for somebody like me who never brings a charger anywhere I go, I find that to be pretty handy technology. And the way it works is it's not a high-power charge, it's a low-power charge. So if you're sitting there and you're at 5% and you're like, I got to grab a bit of juice, put that thing right on your friend's phone and get you at 10%, at least get you a little bit further in the day. And as I was thinking about it, you know, our Christian community really kind of works like that. When you plug your phone into the wall, that is plugging directly into God. That is getting that power, that 100%. When you're in prayer and you're in deep thought and you're listening to God, that is that charge. That is a 100% charge. Get you back to full strength. But man, sometimes you hit that point in the day and you're at 5% and you just need a little boost. And that's what we are called to do for each other here at Asbury. It is a perfect symbol for what it means to live in Christian community with each other. We boost each other through love, grace, and accountability. And see, our Wesleyan heritage was built on this. It was built on small groups. We are built to be in community together, and it's built to be reflected in everything we do. How we teach our children, how we work with the youth, and how we disciple each other as adults. It is meant to be in community all the time. So when someone enters the doors here at Asbury, I want them to feel an energy that comes from a welcoming group of Christ-centered and loving people. And guess what, though? That's an all-hands-on-deck proposition. That's not 20% of us. That's all-hands-on-deck all the time because God calls us to make a major impact. That video raised a great question, and it was, why has God placed all of us here from all these different backgrounds, locations, and walks of life? I had the pleasure of being in a committee meeting on Tuesday for the CDC, and it was really interesting to me because as we went around the table, in the beginning, we all introduced ourselves, and I was just amazed how many of us were at that table that aren't from Arkansas. It was at least half the table, and so it made me think, why are all of us together here and now? And what is God's purpose for that? Well, the best that I could figure that out is that we've been brought here together to be transformational in Little Rock. We've been called to be that hope on the hill. We've been called to make disciples in a new and living way. But we have to do it together because, most importantly, we are always, through Christ, better together. Let's pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your message, and we have heard your call, God. We understand that as the community of faith here, that we are called to come together, we are called to be together in community, and to put you at the center of our hearts first and foremost, God, as we wake up each day, please let us do that. Let us be led that way, God. You call, we will answer. We ask this in the name of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Move to a time of prayer. How many of you were here a couple of Sundays ago, Pastor Dee Dee and Brother Nick's first Sunday? We had that, what Steve Fisher called an intermission. We're working on that. But right now, we do want to go to God in prayer. So bow with me and pray with me. Gracious and loving God, we give thanks to you for this day, for the opportunity you give us to worship you openly and freely. God, this morning we pray for energy, that in us you see a mobilizing, powerful force for your kingdom, that you will deploy us for the good of your mission. We seek that we put down our selfish needs and wants and take up your mantle in ministry to all the world. God, this morning we pray for peace. For peace in our hearts and in our minds as we seek a break from the busyness of our lives, the distractions that the world lays before us every day. Our world can become burdensome. It tells us to live a certain way, act a certain way, to accept things that seem good, God, but in the end of the day, only you lead us to hope and life, whereas those things can
lead to destruction. God, we ask that you continue to work in a mighty way here at Asbury. That you provide a hedge of protection around us as we move in mission for you in the world. God, keep our hearts filled with your Spirit and our minds focused on your majesty. Lead us to be the hands and feet of Christ, that we together can serve selflessly for your glory. Give us the strength to lift each other up in love and grace, reflective of the love and grace we receive from you. For all you have done, for all you are doing now, and for all that you will do for your kingdom. And as we ask all of this in the name of your Son, as a church body, we will pray the prayer that Jesus taught us to. Our Father,
Lord, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread,
and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation,
and as our ushers come forward, it's a time of giving to this wonderful place with wonderful people. And for all the blessings that God has given us, just give something back to him so that we can continue to grow our ministry here and touch the lives of so many in our community, in our state, and even around the world. So let's pray over this offering. God of compassion and mercy, we remember Jesus' parable of the Good Samaritan, who came upon a man beaten and bleeding, and felt compassion and gave him care. From this parable, we use the name Samaritan for an act of compassion or a good deed, missing the point that what you would have us see was not a deed or act, but a whole way of living. In the same way, God, you long for not the act of offerings, but a life lived giving ourselves selflessly for others. We know you can transform acts of giving into lives of giving, and we pray that boldly in the name of Jesus, who gave all. Amen.
In your ocean of ankle deep, I feel the waves crashing on my feet. It's like I know where I need to be, but I can't figure out. I can't figure out just how much air I will need to breathe. When your tide rushes over me, there's only one way to figure out. Will you let me drown? Will you let me drown? Hey now, this is my desire. Something beautiful touch me. I know that I'm in reach. I am down on my knees, waiting for something beautiful. Oh, 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 something beautiful. Something beautiful touch me. I know that I'm in reach. I am down on my knees, waiting for something beautiful. Something something beautiful when I wake up. And all I have, you know what I need, something beautiful. This is my desire, to me like a fire. I know want something beautiful, touch me. I know that I'm in reach. I am down on my knees. I'm waiting for something beautiful.
My pleasure to be among you this morning, having come over from the 10:45 traditional service. I do want to say I think we might have worked out the timing issue, so the happy dance. Oh, sorry. We are happy. If you're a guest with us today, pardon me. I've only been here a couple of weeks, and so I'm still giddy. We're glad that you're here today. And we hope that all of you, it's our intention that all of you, all of us, would experience week in and week out a difference because we've come to worship. And that difference would be a result of the presence and power of the Holy Spirit and the good news of Jesus Christ and the love of God that is at work in and among and through this congregation. Amen. We want your life to be different. We want our lives to be different so that we can make a difference in the world in Christ's name. So as the closing song begins, I'm going to be up here at the front. If any of you want to come and pray at the altar, something touched you this morning, you want to make a new commitment, fresh to Christ, you've heard an inkling in your mind about something that God is wanting you to do, and you're trying to learn more about that, you want to make a commitment to this church and to this fellowship, I'd love to pray with you. So as you come and as we sing, know that you are welcome, truly welcome. This is God's altar. This is God's church. And we want to help you make a difference. Let us stand and sing.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe.
We live for you. Oh.
Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you.
Oh,
we live for you, God. Thank you.
Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes and wander. Show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around.
I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation. And I will put my trust in you alone. I will not be shaken. We're going to sing that a couple of times.
I will build my life upon your love. It is a firm foundation.
Friends, it has been a blessing to gather together this morning, to experience God's love, to sing his praise, to pray together, to hear his word proclaimed. Now let us go forth with that energy within us, with that assurance that guides our life, knowing that there is nothing that can separate us from God's love. May that give you peace. And also courage to do what God is calling you to do. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.
Have a great week.